We are thankful that our Lord has, in His providence, has permitted us to be here today and each one of you. We are here on purpose. You're not here by accident. We are here on purpose. Our Heavenly Father deals in His mighty power and grace and mercy on purpose. It's not by accident. We serve a almighty God, a sovereign God. Nebuchadnezzar, when the Lord had to deal with him as an evil king, his heart was puffed up in pride. And he'd go out on his balcony of his mansion and he'd say, "Look at all of this that I've got, that I've done, all of this." He was proud of himself. But the Lord, one day, turned him out to pasture with the animals and passed over him seven times, whatever time that is, for it was 7 days or 7 years or whatever. But anyway, the Lord passed over him seven times, which in biblical numerology, number seven is completion. So whatever it was, God accomplished what he wanted to with Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel chapter 35, 4 and 35, says the inhabitants of the earth is reputed as nothing. He has his way in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What doest thou?" So this is the God that we are dealing with, or he deals with us, and that we serve. Now, I'll be speaking this morning from 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll begin reading with verse 12. Now, Brother Herb and I have been teaching from this book now for the last couple of months. And Peter deals with basically of what our lifestyle and our demeanor is to be concerning our conversation or our manner of life in the day and time in which we live. Now, Peter deals a lot with, and we found out, with persecution. And that's a word that we do not like to hear as human beings because it's against the flesh. But nevertheless, it is expected, or it shall be or will be, because the Lord says that we that live godly shall suffer persecution. So that word "shall" there is a definite article there. So it will come to pass if God says it shall. I was talking to one of my co-workers at luncheon Thursday, and I told him I was affiliated now with the Primitive Baptist Church. And he says, "Is that what you call y'all hard shells? I said, "Yeah, that's exactly what we're hard shells, the shells." So they are hard shells. They, when the Lord says it, that's going to be it. Excuse me. I'll begin reading with verse 12. Now, we're going to find that some, these scriptures don't really make sense to us in human terms because they're really not compatible in our minds. But the Lord says it's going to be this way. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange things happen unto you." Now, we have read in history, church history, of where millions of the children of God, professing Christians, have died in various ways. The stakes and burning and boiling in oil and various different ways. So, verse 12 says here, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange things happen unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's business. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." It says, don't think no strange thing if persecutions or things happen to you. But rejoice. This doesn't go together, does it? But this is where grace and mercy and the power of God comes in to work in us, to give us the ability to do what the Scripture says for us to do. Scripture tells us that we are to be thankful for all things. Now, sometimes it's hard to be thankful for some things, the situations we get in sometimes, and some things that happen to us. But nevertheless, Jesus says, by his mercy and grace is sufficient. As he told Paul, I believe it was, that had a thorn in the flesh, and he approached God and asked him to remove that. And the Lord would not. He said, "My grace is sufficient." So it is. So if the Savior suffered, should believers expect any less? Because the Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ came and gave us an example. So the sufferings that Jesus Christ did in his life, in his death, burial, and resurrection, was for our benefit, was for our example, that we should expect these things to come upon you if you follow Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you live according to the Word of God. We are seeing in our nation today, and it's intensifying more, that our nation is moving toward the persecutions of Christendom, or people that professes to know Christ and to follow him. And they are begin to put things in motion. to persecute. James 1 and verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various temptations." But we know that the Lord teaches us in His Scripture that He will not tempt us or cause us to be tempted more than we can stand, but He will make a way of escape for us to bear whatever comes upon us. 2 Timothy 2 and 12 says, "For if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us." One day, we as the people of God and as His bride, I believe, we will be reigning with Him in glory. Because the Scripture talks about that some that has done a good job here in small things, He said, "I'll give you more larger things to do." So some will be ruling over maybe five cities. Some will be ruling over 10 cities. I don't understand all of this. I don't understand all of that. But when we get the glory, we will see and we'll understand what God has prepared. The Scripture says, "Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him." So, you know, we can't understand. It's a lot of things the Lord has not revealed in His Word concerning some things. And I think the reason for that is that in this finite mind that we have, we couldn't understand it anyway, you know. So we'll have to wait until we're changed into that glorified body that is like Christ at His coming. We'll be changed. And then the Scripture says we will be like Him. Now, the Scripture says we don't know what He looks like, or we don't know what He'll look like, but He says we're going to look like Him. We're going to be like Him. Whatever that is, whatever that means. So, in verse 14, it says, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." So, it is incumbent upon us as the children of God that we are to make a stand against evil for the glory of God. The Scripture tells us that we are the light of the world. We are to let our light shine, and that we are to do His works. Why? That they might see our good works, and that they might glorify our Father which is in heaven. So see, all of this, the Christian things that we talk about, things here, is not about us. It's about Him. Ultimately. And it says one day that if we're faithful and things here at the judgment seat of Christ, if we have built upon the right foundation, which is a foundation that no man can lay other than what has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ, if we build upon that foundation, then we will receive rewards. But it also says that those rewards one day will be laid at the feet of Jesus. Now, because if it hadn't have been for His mercy and His grace working in us to do His will, that it wouldn't have happened in the first place. But it's all because of Him. So we need to understand that. It is God that worketh in you the will and the do of His good pleasure. So happy are ye. That's really not compatible, is it? Against the flesh. Something bad happened, persecuted. Say if your head's cut off. We're to bow and thank God for that. That's against the flesh. It's only by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that He has before ordained that we should walk in them. Excuse me. When one is reviled for the name of Christ, this is a doctrinal truth we get from this. That when we are reviled or we are persecuted, then one is blessed. That's hard to understand it. Matthew 5:11-16 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. It's not easy to live the Christian life. It can only be done through and by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's bad when somebody walk up to me and hits me on the cheek. That reaction is to hit back, isn't it? That's the flesh. But what does the Scripture say? Turn the other cheek. That's tough. It's not easy. Only by grace can we do that. It says, when somebody takes your coat, give him your cloak also. If you walk 1 mile, go the second mile. That's against the flesh. Only the Spirit can handle that. And what makes it tough sometimes is when you have to stand against your own family. But the Scripture says that in the last days, your worst enemies will be the enemies of your own household. I think we're seeing that come to pass today. Verse 16 of Matthew 5, it says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God your Father which is in heaven. Verse verse 15 of 1 Peter 4. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's business. Now this is a curious mixture here, isn't it? A murderer is classified with a busybody in other men's matters. There are some who seems as if they cannot mind their own business. So, Peter is stressing strongly here, condemns his listeners here and his readers, that asks that none of them to whom he writes may have to suffer because of such wrongdoings. See, that doesn't bring glory to God. When we suffer because of our wrongdoings and something that we've done, and we suffer for it, that don't glorify God. What glorifies God is that we suffer falsely. That we are accused of doing something that we didn't do and we are persecuted for. Jesus Christ set that example, didn't he? He was the perfect man. He was the God-man. He did not do any wrong. He didn't make any mistake. But he was persecuted. He was killed. All. None of this was an accident, but on divine purpose of Almighty God. All the things that happened to Jesus Christ, even though he was innocent, was because and on the behalf of his elect people. That he went to the cross and suffered in his life, in his death, and burial, and resurrection. For our justification. And so, verse 16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. One suffering as a Christian need not feel ashamed, but should recognize suffering as an opportunity to glorify God. Just being a Christian was at times past was a punishable by death or lesser penalties. History indicates that many have been killed for admitting to being a Christian. In those times was by the government. So Acts 11:26 says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a while year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This was when Paul and Barnabas came in, and this was when Christians were first called disciples were first called Christians. And so to be identified as a Christian marks one out as a bearer of the blessings of salvation, for it identifies one as belonging to Jesus Christ. It was probably they were doing this and gave them that name to be derogatory against them. That was against them. It was a bad name. They meant it to be bad. So, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So, it behooves us as professing children of God that we understand that it is expected of us because of the example that Christ gave that we are to fulfill that example. That we are to suffer if we shall live righteous and holy for Him. We shall suffer persecution. So it behooves us as the children of God that we be faithful in that. And the only way that we can go through this and be successful in coming through persecutions is by the power and the grace of Almighty God because of what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Heavenly Father, we thank you for saving our souls. Heavenly Father, we thank you for in your eternal purpose that you chose to save a people for your name's sake. And Heavenly Father, we just pray now that you would honor your word, that you tell us that your word will not return unto you void. And I pray that the words that spoken today will be effectual to someone's heart out there, and will some lost sinner will see, be wakened up, be quickened by your Holy Spirit. They'll hear the gospel preached, and that they will see the need of coming to you and depending on you for eternal life. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother David, for those thoughts and those words of exhortation. The last two verses of this chapter, Brother David left for me to share some thoughts with you. Verse 18 and 19. For if the righteous scarcely be saved. What does it mean, scarcely be saved? Well, Brother David has pointed out to us that God's people are going to suffer persecution in the world. How do you sustain yourself? Or how is it that you're kept? How is it that you endure? Only by God's grace and God's mercy, by the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope of salvation for anyone and everyone is Jesus Christ. Not works, not anything that we do, baptism, nor anything else, is going to save you. There's only one way of salvation. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. The righteous scarcely be saved. Now what does it mean, scarcely be saved? Well, we have an expression here in the English, and that would somewhat express what's been said here. By the skin of your teeth, barely make it. Now, the salvation in Christ Jesus is an all-sufficient salvation. Brother David again made reference to what Paul said. God told him in the midst of his persecution that my grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient to save every one of his elect people. Not a one for whom Jesus Christ died for is going to go to hell. The blood of Christ paid for all of our sins, every one of them. No works can you do. Last week we noted we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's the only thing that can save you, the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Christ. The only hope of my salvation, my only hope I have today, is Jesus Christ died for my sins. And so the righteous scarcely be saved. That means there's no other way. There's none other name. The fourth chapter of Acts says, there's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now there are a lot of religions in the world and a lot of ideas about religion. But I want to tell you folks, there's only one way of salvation, and that's in Jesus Christ. For if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly, now that's all of us, every one of us, out without Jesus Christ, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, I'll give you what the answer of the Bible says in the book of Revelation. I'll tell you that all the ungodly shall be cast into hell. Now, that's what we all deserve. This preacher deserves eternal damnation in hell. That's because I'm a sinner by nature, all of us. None righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. But I have something that will assure me of my salvation today. I've been baptized. In fact, I've been baptized twice. I pray a lot. I read the Bible a lot. That's not going to get me to heaven. You say, well, preacher, you ought to be a good man. Well, I strive to be a good man, but that's not going to get me to heaven. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works. The only hope I have of my salvation is of Jesus Christ, his precious blood. And so if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? They're on the way to eternal damnation. Now note what it says in verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So God has purposed that we as God's, his people, the only hope we have of salvation is that we commit ourselves to the Lord. Now, there in verse 17, it says, the time has come that judgment must begin the house of God. And if it first must begin, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Now, what's the gospel? Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the hope. That's the everything that's involved with our salvation. Christ died for our sins. My sin was laid upon Jesus Christ. My only hope of salvation is that my sin, by God, was laid upon Christ, and God hath imputed, given to us, the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so if the righteous, that's those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, that's those for whom Christ died for, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Those who die without Jesus Christ, there's no hope of their salvation. There's no second chances. It's either have Christ now or die without him. It's either have Christ as Redeemer and Savior in time, or you die without him. The Word of God says, appoint unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. How hopeless is the case of those who do not know Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that they're without God, having no hope in this world. Oh, soul, if you know not Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Word of God says that you are hopelessly lost. But in Christ Jesus, there is salvation, there is redemption, there is cleansing from the blood, from sin. The blood of Christ Jesus does secure our salvation. And we can sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was once blind, but now I see. How is that? That's how did it happen? By God's marvelous grace. The righteous, if the righteous scarcely be saved. What are you trusting in today? What's your hope of salvation? What about sin? What about hell? Oh, you don't want to talk about hell. You don't want to think about hell. But the Bible says the point of the man was to die, and after that, the judgment. You see, friends, it is certain and sure that all of us are going to experience eternity. All of us are going to experience eternity. This world is just a temporary stage for eternity. This world is just a temporary preparation room for eternity. Do you ever get caught sometimes unprepared? When I was in college, you know, sometimes teachers always like to have a pop quiz. And pop quiz, sometimes you weren't prepared. And whew, too late then to get ready. So it is about salvation. The Word of God says today is the day of salvation. So it is. If a person knows not Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I say to you this day, if to be without Christ is to be without hope. I say to you today, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? What is your hope? What are you trusting in? What are you looking forward to? Nothing but judgment from the Lord, the wrath of God. The Word of God indeed, my friends, tells us that God's wrath indeed is certain and sure. Who is it going to fall on? All who die without Jesus Christ. All who have no hope in Christ. All who have not come to experience the cleansing blood of Christ Jesus. Now I will tell you that not a one of those for whom Jesus Christ died, not a one of those that God gave unto the Son shall die and go to hell. Because God purposed, He purposed from all eternity that He would die for your sins. The Lamb of God came to this world for the very express purpose to die for the sins of His elect people. The Word of God says His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save, hard shout, He shall save His people from their sins. How do you know you're one of God's people? By the witness in your heart. My sins have been washed away. I love to sing that song. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Because it's my experience. It's the hope of all of God's people experience. The only hope I have is that Jesus paid it all. If the righteous scarcely. Now think about that today, friend. If the righteous scarcely be saved. Do you ever drive your car and come down to empty? The lady was here the other day. She came in here and said, I need to know where the, she was at church, a young college girl, and she said, I need to know where the closest service station is because my gas gauge says it's empty. I said to her, you need to learn something. You can't wean a car on gas. This car always going to have need gas. Scarcely. I think she had enough wheel to get to the service station. She made it after church. Scarcely. Oh, that's a bad situation to be in. But more worse is to be without Christ. To die without Christ. More worse. For the righteous shall scarcely be saved. Nothing else. No hope. Except the blood of Jesus Christ. May God bless His word to our hearts today. May the Holy Spirit of God show to us how God loved us and sent His Son to die for us and to redeem us from our sins. And we are indeed saved, but scarcely. That means no works, no merit, only by God's free and sovereign grace. Heavenly Father, we come to You today. How we thank You for Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior. Thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy toward us. Thank You for Your word. Lord, we pray that You would help us to be faithful by Your grace, that we would endure persecution, that we would be those who would stand in the face of this world in spite of what the world would say, and we would be faithful to Jesus Christ. I thank You, dear Lord, today that we have Christ as Redeemer and Savior. Yea, though we might be, as it were, scarcely saved, we are fully saved, secured in Christ for our salvation. In His name I pray and ask it. Amen.